doing the whole 6010.
Welcome into the Week 5 CSS DFS podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. We got a ragtag group here today. Mike Clay with a button-up shirt sitting next to me, all stretched out on the couch. How you doing, Mike?
I'm good. I'm just relaxing. I like this the sofa that Al envies.
Yes. Sure.
It's nice and comfortable, and doing my second show in a row, as are you.
So yeah.
We're just settling in. Little, you know, comfy, talk some football.
Al is in a t-shirt he probably slept in the night before. Al, you still couch poor after the couple weeks ago? Oh, that's what it, okay, got it.
I have a competition problem, it says, for those. By the way, if you're watching, you can't watch, right?
Yeah, there is no watching.
You can only listen, but since you're not, we still have a monitor here, right, with Al. And Al, like I'm comparing here, I could fit 10 of my head in Al's head. That's how big it is.
Yes, Al's head is huge. It's true. Yeah. It's because there's much knowledge in there.
Yeah. That's not an insult. Like this screen, it's a huge, huge, like Cowboy Stadium size monitor behind us. And
so
I feel
tiny. Definitely on the Jumbotron every single Thursday.
You are.
All right, guys. So here, I'm going to start this right off the top. Join our weekly contest. You've been doing it all year long. Continue to do it. Free to enter. $200 in weekly prizes. Let's do a quick week 4 recap, Mike Clay. It was a tough one for us.
Yeah. It's been a crazy season so far. I mean, just it's harder to project because there's so many touchdowns, and we
scoring
know that.
Scoring is through the roof.
Yeah, and that throws a lot of variance in it, so we need the league to relax a little bit, which will help the prognostication. But I'm really disappointed with week 4. We're gonna do better. We're gonna do better this week.
I know Al technically picked me to win last week, even though he really wanted to pick you. So I don't know if Al gets the W here or not, but I did come out just a few points on top of you. So we are now tied 2-2 for the season.
We are.
Barely. We want to give a big shout out to Duncaneer, who had 225.48 DraftKings points.
By the way, I just realized I can't remember if this was last week or the week before, but someone who listens to the show, and of course I'm just remembering this now and didn't look up his name, someone went on the first place $100,000,
yeah,
was it?
In the $3. Yep.
And supposedly listening to some of our advice, not all of it, obviously. So there was one positive that came out of it, because a little bit of a down week, at least in cash. I know Al always does well. So, but anyway, that's good.
I don't always do well.
Well, I'm just trying. I don't
it's
know.
A philosophy. I appreciate the sentiment, but I had a bad week in week 4 also. Some weeks just don't go the way that we predict.
Right.
That's
so,
just the way that it, that's the game.
But somebody listened to this and listened to the right things and not the wrong things.
Exactly.
And made their own decisions, made a lineup, and won. And that's what you should do, right? You don't have to just follow everything we say perfectly. You know, if you like what you hear, you apply it. If you don't, then don't. And
that's it.
We'll try to get as much right as we can. That's anyway, congratulations to whoever that is. We'll look it up for next week. But that's awesome.
We know some stuff, but you do have to use your own head to set some things. And so take our information and then fact check it with yours and make sure you're good with it and then apply it to your lineup the way that you want. So congratulations to Duncaneer with a huge week this week. Hopefully had that in some other lineups as well, because man, that would have done real well. All right. We got a bunch of stuff to get to, a whole lot of people to talk about. I'm just going to jump right in here with quarterbacks where Josh Allen, who has unbelievably been one of the three best quarterbacks in fantasy over the first 4 weeks of the season, draws a matchup against the Titans. And even with his price point, you like Josh Allen this week. I want you to tell me why.
Yeah, so he is easily my highest projected quarterback of the week. You know what? Actually, I guess we should start by saying this. The Bills play the Titans this week.
Correct.
And as of the time we're recording this, which is around lunchtime on Thursday, we don't know for sure if that game's going to happen right now because of another player added to the COVID list this morning. So keep that in mind.
Yes.
Don't just set your lineup today after the show and then just leave it go. Make sure you check, because we don't know what's going to happen this weekend. So anyway, we should mention that since we're talking about that game. But anyway, for now, Josh Allen is my highest projected player at quarterback, but he's $400 less than Lamar Jackson, $200 less than Patrick Mahomes at $7,500. So obviously, I'm in on Allen even at this price point. He's been a top five fantasy quarterback all 3 weeks. He's second in passing yards, he's fourth in carries at quarterback. The Titans defense has allowed 7 passing touchdowns in 3 games already against Denver, Jacksonville, and Minnesota. So not really a
Those
super
quarterbacks aren't yeah.
right and yeah. still 7 passing touchdowns, so that's fifth most on a per game basis. So Allen, I mean, worth spending up on, I think.
Okay, Al, I know that you have Matt Ryan here. Do you want to weigh in on anything there with Josh Allen before we get into Matt Ryan?
I mean, He's really good at football.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, that's great.
Very good football player.
Cool.
Yeah. And that's important to know, notice or note, because we didn't know that was going to be the case, right? There's a lot of concerns about him coming in, even with his passing his first 2 years, but he's stepped up his game. The dude is playing awesome.
Well, another guy
he was not as good a football player the last 2 years.
No,
this
he was
year,
not.
Very good football player.
He's very better, good football player this year. Matt Ryan is also a very good football player, but his defense stinks. However, he's playing a team who also has a defense that stinks. Is this the avenue here for Matt Ryan to be able to deliver big for people this week?
There's nothing better for fantasy when two good offenses are facing off against two defenses that stink.
Mm-hmm.
We can stack this game. There's plenty of viable targets on both sides. We're going to get to some of those later. Matt Ryan has absolutely torn up Carolina, throwing for at least 300 yards or multiple touchdowns in his last nine games against Carolina. This is a spot where he has thrived. Usually we look for down stat days in divisional matchups, but this isn't one that's really hurt him. And as you said, Carolina, a step down in defense from where they were last year. And last year, for the second half of the season, they allowed multiple touchdowns, or three-plus touchdowns in every game for the last 9 or 10 games last year. They're right along that pace again this year, with maybe the exception of the Arizona game.
Sure.
It's a great spot to get on Matt Ryan again.
Yeah.
And he's really cheap comparatively to the rest of the quarterbacks at like 6,100.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a great price point for him this week.
Yeah, Panthers surprisingly third fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks this season, but I don't think they have the personnel to sustain that long term. So I'm with you. I don't think it's a matchup we should be too afraid of yet.
All right. Well, I want to get into a talking point here around a matchup that I want to know if we should be afraid of, because obviously we heard that Dwayne Haskins was benched this week.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Allen going to jump in here as the starter, $4,100 as a starting quarterback on DraftKings. So like as basement of a price as you can possibly get, is this a situation where you can look at utilizing him to find other places you want to spend more money? Or would you suggest week one against Aaron Donald and this Rams defense, you know what, it's just not worth it?
You know what? I at 4,100, cheapest in this slate, I wanted to be like, I have to find a way to use him. And sure, certainly you can. You could find ways to work him in a little bit to a couple of your lineups if you set a few. But I talked myself out of it as I read into it. So first of all, he wasn't good last year, right? 19 total touchdowns, 16 picks, 13 fumbles during 12 active weeks, was QB20 in fantasy. 13 fumbles, yes. Mm-hmm. He had more than 12 points in only 5 games. And that's a notable number because, I mean, that's... You know, Al, you can kind of get into, you know, what you want to hit based on your price point, but that's 3 times 4,100. I mean, it's right around 12 points. You probably want to get at least there. He only got there 5 times. He had 0 top 5 weeks. There's no upside here. And by the way, the Rams defense pretty good. Only 5 touchdowns allowed in, so far this season, 6.7 yards per attempt. They're top 8 in sacks and interceptions. He is super cheap, but it's hard to see much upside here.
Al?
What do you think, Al?
So with quarterbacks, I tend to look for probably a realistic outcome of 4 times their salary in thousands.
Right, and he's not even getting the 3 times.
Exactly. So like, if there's a realistic chance of him getting like 15-plus points, 16-plus points, then I would say let's just fire up Kyle Allen because there's no possible downside here. But like, where all the other quarterbacks are priced right now, they're not really exorbitantly priced, and you can get to a lot of guys that have a realistic outcome of 25 plus points. So the amount that you're saving in a week where I don't think we need all that much savings, there's a lot of value on the board this week. I don't think we need to go get Kyle Allen as opposed to if it was a really tightly priced week. The screws aren't tightened up. We can avoid going with Kyle Allen. You can play him in a tournament if that's the way you want to go, but I don't think it's necessary in cash at all.
Okay. Another guy that I'm really intrigued by here is Daniel Jones. Obviously.
Oh, yeah.
We've watched the Giants really struggle on offense, but at the same time, we've watched the Cowboys not be able to play defense at all. So is this a situation where we can have a get-right games for Daniel Jones at the right price point for players this week?
Yeah, I think so. He's one of my great values, a quarterback this week. You know, comes at a 5,400. That's 19th highest in this slate. So you're not going to have to spend a ton on him, obviously. We just talked about how cheap Kyle Allen is. He's 4,100. You'd pay an extra 1,300 to get to Daniel Jones. And look, I know he's been off to a terrible start this year, but they played the Steelers, Bears, 49ers, and Rams. Doesn't get much tougher than that, right? So only actually the Giants don't have a passing touchdown since week one. But here's the thing. The volume's there. He's 7th in dropbacks and 8th in carries a quarterback. And also, remember, he's not a rookie, right? We saw him last year lead the NFL in passing touchdowns during his active weeks and also average more fantasy points per game than Kyler Murray. So he was pretty effective last season, and now the schedule lightens up. As you mentioned, fourth most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks by Dallas, 11 touchdowns, one interception so far. This is the week. If he doesn't get going now, I mean, yeah, we're out of luck. And at this price point, Al, I think that he's a natural guy to work in your lineups.
Yeah, this is kind of what I was talking about with Kyle Allen. We don't need to, because there's a lot of quarterbacks under 5,500, and I think Daniel Jones is the best one. As Daniel was saying, we've got the resistible force against the movable objects here in the Dallas defense, and resistible force being Daniel Jones. Like, Dallas has allowed 12 touchdown passes, only one interception on 139 pass attempts. That's pretty bad efficiency defensively. Daniel Jones has some talent with his legs, so we've got a little bit of a floor there. And then we have the upside because of the matchup and the talent on the outside and at tight end that Daniel Jones is throwing to. I think he's a fine play where he's at. And as we know, if you want to win the Millie Maker the last 3 weeks, you have to basically have stacks of the Dallas game. So why not take the massive discount to go from Dak to Jones?
By the way, I use that expression, that exact expression, to talk about Darius Slayton against this defense in my wide receiver cornerback column. So that seems to be the phrase of the week for that Cowboys Giants game.
It really does. It really does. I do want to talk about the other side of that real quick before we move on to running backs, Al, because Dak has just been absolutely phenomenal. We've looked at how unreal the start of his season has been. Still not the highest priced quarterback here on the slate this week. Is Dak somebody that you feel like fits well this week if you did want to, maybe you wanted to pay up for him and go a different direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can. I would probably pay up somewhere else in cash, but I love Dak for tournaments for everything that we just mentioned. Now, I do have to note they've been trailing badly the last three games, and so he's thrown it about 78 times a game. I'm exaggerating, but don't fact check those numbers.
Barely exaggerating.
I think that this is going to be a fine game for Dak, but probably not a 450-yard passing, four-touchdown game, but still something where he expects to score 25-plus DraftKings points.
Sure.
Just not 50 DraftKings points.
Yep, no doubt about it. And I'm not going to say more because I'm going to talk more about that when we get to Ezekiel Elliott here in just a few minutes.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you know what's really scary, Mike?
My lineup last week?
Yes. You ruined the live read, but yes, that was scary last week. You're right. But also what's really scary is seeing just how much you could have been saving on car insurance by switching to Geico.
Oh.
It's almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. No, listen, Geico cannot erase the memory of you tripping down the hallway in those oversized pointy shoes, but they could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So stop waking up at night in a cold sweat wondering what happened to the green onesie that you used to wear. Just switch to Geico and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
That makes me want to switch to Geico just to be associated with these awesome commercials.
Right?
And also the 15%. That's pretty important as well. But Daniel, I also like food, so I appreciate that you're allowing me to read this one. Wake up with Wendy's breakfast. If you haven't tried it yet, Wendy's breakfast menu is definitely something you don't want to sleep on. Pick from fan faves like our breakfast Baconator, honey butter chicken biscuit, and frosty chino, or mix and match to make your own breakfast dream team. How about that for a morning win? Wendy's breakfast, spread the word at participating U.S. Wendy's.
All right, guys, let's get into running backs here because there are a lot of guys that we could talk about. And I want to know, Mike, when you're looking at this slate just in general, there's a lot of higher priced running backs that you like. And we feel like they're actually still really good values despite their price points.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, Al can obviously touch on this too, but you can pay up on running back again and still come away with a terrific lineup. Loving Ezekiel Elliott against the Giants and Clyde Edwards-Helaire against the Raiders. Zeke is 7,800. Edwards-Helaire, 6,800, which I cannot believe he's that cheap. Both are top four in pricing, but running backs as a whole, again, underpriced right now. It's just inviting you to go with these guys. I mean, look, Zeke, it's kind of been overshadowed by what the Cowboys passing game and defense has done, but he's first in snaps at running back. He's sixth in carries. He's second in targets. And here's the stat I wanted to get to that you guys kind of alluded to. Al mentioned it before. Dallas has been in the lead on a league low 2% of their offensive snaps. What? Think about some of the bad teams like the Jets and Giants. 2% of the time they've been in the lead. That's not game script time for Zeke Elliott. That's bad for Zeke Elliott. Look, fortunately, he's kind of picked up the pace in terms of catching the football. So Giants have been okay against running backs this season. They give up more through the air than on the ground. Either way, I think they'll be in the lead more often in this game. It sets up well for Zeke. And quickly on Edwards-Helaire, Again, the volume is there. Fifth in carries, eighth in targets, fifth in touches, and total yards at running back. And a great matchup. The Raiders allowing the most fantasy points to running backs this season, 5.4 yards per carry. Second most receiving yards allowed. Most touchdowns allowed with 8 through 4 games. They were gashed by the Panthers, the Saints, the Patriots. They did good against the Bills, but obviously they've been a little shorthanded. So he's set up great for a breakout week. It's coming, and this might be the week. So it's 6,800. I went in.
Yeah, okay. So there's 5 things that I look at in terms of how teams are utilizing their backs. And I've repeated them a bunch this year, right? So like they're the 5 boxes. Number 1, are they playing at home? Number 2, are they involved in the passing game? 3, do they have an expectation of 20-plus touches? Are they favored? And do they get the majority of the goal line touches? And basically Ezekiel Elliott is leading the NFL in inside the 5 carries with 12 of them. Those are the highest, not variants, those are the highest, the best targets that we can get, the best carries we can get are the ones inside the 5-yard line. So we have all 5 checked for both of those guys that Mike mentioned. And that doesn't even get into the matchup, who they're playing, how inefficient the defense is. And they have that cherry on top as well. So both these guys are 5 box running backs this week. And they're way too cheap.
No doubt.
I kind of wonder, I'm excited to look at our lineups at the end of the show, because I feel like there's a way that you can make both of these guys work in your lineup, even despite their price points.
No doubt. Easily.
Another guy that we really like though, Al, Mike Davis, taking on the Atlanta Falcons, doesn't fit the at-home box that it is that you liked. Mm-hmm. However, everything else that Mike Davis does probably does fit all those boxes for you.
Yeah, I mean, he's basically CMC light at this point. Mm-hmm. And now with Reggie Bonifant going to IR, now he could get CMC-type usage from 2019 in terms of snaps and running back touches. So there's just no other running backs there. He was already dominating the touches there. He's got a great elusive rating. He's breaking a lot of tackles once they get the ball in his hands. And he is a super high volume back, getting the ball inside the 5. He's an expectation of 7-plus targets a week. Mm-hmm. And every target that a running back gets is valued as much as like 2.7 running back carries. So the volume's off the charts here on a metrics basis from somebody like Mike Davis. But I did want to bring up for Mike to talk about a little bit, there's a change because of Nick Chubb going to IR. Now we've got a situation where a team that wants to establish the hell out of the run in Cleveland, with Kareem Hunt, who was going from about 37% of the running back carries on Cleveland, and Nick Chubb was at 43%. I think determining what percent of the rushes in Cleveland somebody like Kareem Hunt gets is going to be very important, because we know how he used to be a bell cow. We know that he has the talent to do it. And I don't know if the guys behind him are as talented as Hunt was behind Nick Chubb, but Mike can speak to that.
Yeah, no question. And it was basically, once Chubb went down, basically a 3-man committee last week, right, with Dontrell Hilliard and Dearness Johnson. And I wonder if it was the groin injury, right? Like, was that why Kareem Hunt was limited? I have to imagine. He only played 25 of 73 snaps. The answer is no. That should not be the expectation going forward, right? We would expect him to play a lot more. And you kind of hit the nail on the head, Al, because, you know, we're stuck with recency bias. And since he's joined Cleveland, he's just been a part-time player. But with the Chiefs, he was not. 17.1 carries and 3.8 targets per game at the Chiefs. In fact, he was kind of the opposite, right? It was a lot of carry volume, not as much in the passing game. So he has it in him to push for 20 carries someday, some weeks, and maybe even get 5 or 6 targets in this offense. So I'm not worried about that snap count. Again, I think it was just probably some limitation with the groin, because it wouldn't make any sense otherwise. It should be all systems go for Kareem Hunt. And by the way, even if he's in a rotation, it's going to be a ton of volume in this super run-heavy offense.
There should be. I'm curious how much volume you think there's going to be for this next guy I really quickly want to talk about, because Antonio Gibson against the Rams, right? We've talked about how the Rams are a tough defense. However, his usage has been really good so far through the first 4 weeks of the season, Mike.
Yeah, definitely. And again, just other values, right? We have a few other values at running back here listed. I mean, Gibson's one of 5,000 against the Rams, 125 scrimmage yards last week. He scored a touchdown in 3 straight games. I think that's kind of snuck through there. The Rams have been good. Actually, they've been kind of back and forth against running backs. Good against the Bills and Giants. Not very bad, actually, against the Cowboys and Eagles. So fine matchup. The volume with Gibson just keeps you know, in terms of overall usage, how often he's on the field, it's kind of leveled off a little bit, but it's just going to keep rising and rising as he gets more experience at running back. So like him, throw a few names. Go ahead.
You like him, but I'm curious, does Kyle Allen obviously kind of bring him down just a little bit? Or is the idea that like maybe there'd be more usage for him as a quarterback does not matter?
I don't.
Dwayne Haskins to Kyle Allen is not a big enough gap.
Very similar skill sets. And, you know, neither of them runs too much. They're both have accuracy issues, mistake issues. I don't think it's going to be a big change. Obviously, Ron Rivera thinks it'll be better. So if it's better, that's good. But Gibson sent a lot of his damage on the ground anyway. He had a big catch last week, but a lot of it's been rushing anyway. So
Kyle Allen last year really did not affect CMC's usage in the same offense. So
and they've compared Gibson to him. So maybe he'll throw to him more. But yeah, definitely a Gibson's value play. David Johnson, 5,200 against Jacksonville. They've given up a ton of running backs, and they were the defense that Joe Mixon ran all over last week. He was the number one scoring running back. Josh Jacobs against Kansas City. Todd Gurley, believe it or not, I can't believe I'm recommending him, but his price point's too low against Carolina. Al, I think that's, he played Monday night, right? So they didn't get a price adjustment in after the big game from him. So just a lot, again, like we said, you could pay up. There's value plays to mix in there. You can go heavy on running back and feel good about three of these guys, including one in your flex.
Okay, so I want to take that then and move that ahead to wide receiver, because if we're talking about advocating paying up at running back or maybe using a Josh Allen who's a little bit higher priced here, you're going to have to find a lot of value or punt options at the wide receiver position. So, Mike, I want you to give me a couple guys here, and then we're going to go to Al. And, Al, I want a couple of value or punt plays for you at wide receiver as well.
Yeah, so this is, I think, my favorite part of the show, talking about these punt guys at wide receiver. There's so many fun ones. We've talked about them a lot in the past. Had fun with guys that we hit on and guys that we missed on, like me not using Dontrell Inman when he had two touchdowns, even though I liked him. But anyway, we're going to use him this week. Let's start with Olamide Zaccheaus, who is $3,000, the bare minimum against Carolina. Past 2 weeks, so we've had very little Julio Jones.
Right.
64 routes, 14 targets, 158 air yards for Zaccheaus over the past 2 weeks. Last week against the Packers, again, the Packers kind of blew him out. It was Bob Tonyan week, but Zaccheaus snuck in there with 8 catches for 86 yards on 8 targets in that game. So 6 targets, 8 targets the past 2 weeks in this Falcons offense. You got to love that. He's only 3,000. And again, this assumes Julio Jones is out for this game, which is the expectation. If he's out, fire up Zaccheaus. And then the other one is Jeff Smith, 3K against Arizona. Brashad Perriman's not going to play. So Smith played a full-time role last week, 70 of 74 snaps in his 2020 debut. And his 9 targets actually matched Jamison Crowder at 7 for 81. Again, 3K. Throw them in there and save a ton of money. So those are my two. Al, I know you have two others of interest.
Yeah, so unfortunately, my two guys, one might be moved off the slate, and we don't know about the other one. So if these games go, I think these players are a great value. Obviously, Raymond on Tennessee is like 3,200, big speed guy, but with basically two or three wide receivers being active for Tennessee possibly this week, and maybe only two, he's going to have to play a lot of snaps. And if you're out there, it's much easier to get targets than if you're sitting on the bench. Damir Bird has seen a tremendous amount of volume and probably more predictable volume with Jared Stidham or Hoyer at quarterback than he would get if Cam Newton was there, because less possibility for a 50 rush game from the Patriots. He's run a route on 131 of New England's 141 dropbacks this season, saw a career high 10 targets last week against the Chiefs. And for 3K, if you tell me coming into a game that I could roster a 3K wide receiver and he's going to get 10 targets, I'm not going to ask you what the rest of the measurables are. I don't care about the receptions. I don't care about the yards, whether or not he scored a touchdown. If you just give me that info, this 3K wide receiver will get double digit targets. I am playing them 100 out of 100 times.
No doubt.
That opportunity is just unreal. Even if you hit on half of that at 3,000 price point is ridiculous. So.
Yep.
And he did. He only caught 5 of them.
There you go. Even with that, though, there are a couple of pump plays. We love those guys. But if you wanted to spend up, if you wanted to still like some guys, Nuke taking on the New York Jets. It feels like just anybody that plays the New York Jets, you can sort of throw into your lineup. But is he enough of a value to make the play worth it here, Mike?
Oh, yeah. DeAndre Hopkins at 7,900 comes in as a good value this week. I have him projected with 3 more points in PPR than any DraftKings scoring, of course, than any other wide receiver on the slate. So it kind of gives him that edge, right? It's like that edge we saw a lot with Christian McCaffrey and Michael Thomas in the projections last week, which always made them good values at their price points. Look, Hopkins has had such a high floor, 11.5 targets, almost 10 catches and 99 yards per game so far, only has 1 touchdown. And he's the number two scoring fantasy receiver. So, you know, you might look at the Jets and say, well, you know what? Their numbers are pretty good against wide receivers so far, so I'd be worried about that. The answer is no. They face the fourth fewest targets among wide receivers. They're allowing 9.6 yards per target. That's sixth worst. They're allowing a 72% catch rate. That is worse. They were crushed by the Bills earlier this season. They were poor against Denver. They slowed down the Colts and the 49ers, who completely injury-riddled when they played them. So love the matchup, love the volume, love everything about DeAndre Hopkins.
Okay, Al, I'm excited about this conversation because you've got DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Obviously, we talked about how the Falcons can be had. However, I just want to say this. DJ Moore, $6,000 on DraftKings. Robbie Anderson, $5,900 on DraftKings.
Way too low.
I do not understand why Robbie Anderson is not the more expensive wide receiver here, but please talk to me about both of them and what seems to be a really great matchup.
Well, that's kind of the thing, right? I mean, I'll let Mike talk about the matchup. I'll let Mike dig into a little bit more of the DJ Moore stuff. But like 2020's bizarro world, at least it has been to this point. And Robbie Anderson apparently is a 25% target percentage guy in 2020. So this is completely upside down for me. I've always looked at him as more the deep threat. He's a tournament play, a boomer bust guy. He's the high floor guy now. So is DJ Moore. Obviously, with as many targets as he gets, he's sitting at about 23% of the target share there in Carolina. And it brings the question, because I've gotten asked this question a bunch of times this week. Who's the lead dog in Carolina? Is it Robbie Anderson or is it DJ Moore? And my question is, who cares? Did you ask that last year with the Buccaneers? No. Just Godwin and Evans were both good. Are you asking that this year with Seattle? No. Metcalf and Lockett are just both good. Play them. And it's really the same situation here in Carolina. Robbie Anderson seems to have a really good rapport with Teddy Two Gloves. I think that he is looking his way on comfort routes, on routes that are easily convertible, targets to catches. And DJ Moore has struggled, but possibly because he's the one drawing the primary cornerback matchup. And Mike, you can speak to this. Do the Falcons have a primary cornerback right now?
Not right now. AJ Terrell is their first round pick. He's on the COVID list, so we'll see if he's activated this week. They did just get Kendall Sheffield back and used him as essentially their number one last week. I know they like him a lot. Isaiah Oliver's mixed in there. Bloody Ray Wilson was running the slot. So they're struggling, right? They were just completely. Actually, this is kind of funny. We mentioned this on the pod yesterday, right? So the Falcons defense was crushed by the Seahawks receivers, the Cowboys receivers, even the Bears wide receivers. And then they were really good against the Packers on Monday night.
Yeah.
They shut down those Packers receivers without Devontae Adams and Allen Lazard. Oh, yeah, the running backs and tight ends for the Packers had 20 catches on 20 targets for 241 yards and 4 touchdowns. So it's a mess with injuries, players struggling. It's a great matchup for Moore and Anderson. And by the way, Al, you covered Robbie Anderson very well and Moore as well, but Moore is 0 touchdowns so far. That's really deflated his total. Mm-hmm. He's 12th in targets. He's 16th in yardage. His 23% target share is the same as it was last year. And by the way, his air yard share is 43%. Think about what Robbie Anderson's done. Moore has handled 43% of their air yards. That's up from 30% last year. So he's, I think, actually a good tournament play because, you know, the air yards are fantastic, right? I mean,
they flip flopped, right? So, like, right. You've got Robbie Anderson catching 77% of the balls that have been thrown his way this year. Moore is only at 56% of the balls caught coming his way. And he was the one that was doing the short and intermediate routes last year. It's again, it up is down, black is white, cats and dogs living together.
And by the way, if for those not familiar with air yards, it's still kind of becoming more and more prominent. That basically means he's getting the ball downfield a lot, right? It just counts the yardage between the quarterback or the line of scrimmage and where the wide receiver is on the field when he is targeted. So 43% of their team air yards is a huge number. That means that he could go off randomly for two long touchdowns and you're sitting pretty. Mm-hmm. So love him as the 16th price wideout.
So we've got a couple of the guys that we want to hit on as far as quick hitters. We talked about three of these dudes within the regular Thursday podcast. Terry McLaurin, Deontay Johnson, and Darius Slayton all are a part of your wide receiver cornerback matchup article, which is available on ESPN Plus, as is Al's Best Buy column every week behind the Plus subscription. So yep. I would love, please go check that out. It is absolutely worth your while. The Fantasy Show with Matthew Berry and I are also a part of that ESPN Plus subscription. So check it out. However, give me some quick hitters here on some of these wide receivers that we want to get through, Mike.
I think you just mentioned them, didn't you?
I did. Oh, well, I said quick hitters. Like I just mentioned.
Oh, yeah. Terry against the Rams. I don't think Ramsey will shadow him full time, so you don't have to worry about that. Deontay Johnson will draw Darius Slay. That's going to move him down a little bit, but still, with the volume he's seen, he's fine. I'll throw John Brown, too. If the Bills play, his price is down a little bit. I like him against the Titans. We know that pass-heavy Bills offense is interesting. Slayton, great matchup against the Cowboys. Stack possibilities with Daniel Jones and Darius Slayton and maybe Evan Ingram, so you can have fun with that. And, of course, Sammy Watkins, he's getting a lot of volume in that Chiefs offense. He's healthy, and he's underpriced.
Okay. Let's talk about some tight ends here, because it seems like another spot where, man, the guys that you want, the ones that you want to have on your roster, seem very attainable with their price point again this week when you look at the Kittles and the Wallers and the Kelseys and all of them. So, Mike, start with me and talk about some of these higher-priced tight ends and what it is that you like this week.
Yeah, George Kittle, Darren Waller, Travis Kelce, really good at football. Yes. Start them. Yeah, I'm no.
All of them.
they're all, I mean, I think they're underpriced right now. 6,600 for Kittle, 59 for Waller, 64 for Kelce. That's too low for the guys with the production and volume. I mean, George Kittle is the seventh highest priced tight end this, or excuse me, the seventh highest scoring tight end this season. He's played a game and a half.
I know.
We're in week five. He's played so a game good. And a half. He's seventh in scoring. all four are top seven in scoring. They're all facing, actually, this is important. So all three of them are facing teams that are good in terms of fantasy points, a lot of tight ends. They face like no good tight ends. None of them. None of the three defenses have faced a good tight end yet. So I think like one faced Mark Andrews and that was it. It's almost nothing across the board. So actually, I think they're decent matchups against the Dolphins, Chiefs, and Raiders. So, yeah, they're again, I don't have to get... I don't want to sit here and break down how good George Kittle is and Travis Kelce is. We know that.
We know they're great.
But the price points are too low, so they are values at these prices. You can fire them up.
So, Al, I know you agree on these big-name tight ends. I also want to know, though, Evan Ingram is a guy that, like, if we're looking at that game, right, we're looking at a big high-scoring game between Cowboys and Giants. Even though Ingram has struggled this year, it feels like he could be this could be like that game where he puts it all together and can absolutely help you guys out.
And Mike hit on it earlier, right? They've played Pittsburgh, Chicago, San Francisco, and the Rams. I don't know where it's all going to shake out by the end of the season, but those probably are going to be four of the top six or seven defenses in the league, and they've stacked them for the entire first month of the season. Now they get to go to the fantasy carnival, and I want to get a funnel cake and ride on the Ferris wheel and have as many Giants exposure as I can get in tournaments. And Evan Ingram's one of those guys leading the Giants in terms of target percentage, leading them in terms of overall targets. Dallas defense has allowed every player that has seen seven or more targets in a game this season to go over 100 yards. My concern is the way that they're utilizing Evan Ingram, but like that just may be overridden by the volume. I think that they're utilizing as though the back of his jersey says Witten and not Ingram.
Sure.
He's a great athlete. Can we get him on some drags and some slants and get him down the seam instead of just a catch and fall guy?
Jason Garrett revenge game also.
Ooh.
Yes.
I like that. Anytime there's a narrative, I'm always in on the narrative.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's not part of the projection, but I just wanted to throw that in there.
Absolutely.
So, anyway.
Got to be worth like 0.7 points.
Probably.
I'm curious. There's a couple tight ends that are going to be playing with new quarterbacks this week. Obviously, Logan Thomas has Kyle Allen, and you have Chris Herndon playing with Joe Flacco. Both of them a little
people
bit.
People are just shutting the podcast off right now. If you guys talk about these guys one more time.
You know what? Here's the deal. Listen, this is where you find those values that help you win money in daily fantasy.
Okay, continue then,
I got
sir.
A Kyle stat for Logan Thomas, by the way.
Oh, yeah? Give me your Logan Thomas stat.
I got to find it. Mike, go ahead, and then I'll give it to you in a second.
So I feel like I have been completely out on Chris Herndon at like completely across the board in season long. However, season long is a different animal than daily fantasy. This feels like it's a spot where maybe Chris Herndon could actually be useful to fantasy managers.
Yeah, no question. And remember, the story here is the volume has been there for both of these guys. Logan Thomas, who's only 3,500, and Chris Herndon is only 3,200, but they changed quarterbacks. The volume has been there. Can having a different quarterback throw on target passes perhaps help these guys out? And look, you mentioned Herndon. He's played 74% of the snaps. He only has 4.8 targets per game. He has a total of 74 yards and no touchdowns. But again, you know, maybe Joe Flacco comes in and goes this direction. He's had some success with tight ends in the past. So that's maybe your saving grace at this price point. And again, I'll let Al dig really deep on Logan Thomas here. But again, he's third in routes, sixth in targets, 13 in, just watch this trend, right? Third in routes, good. Sixth in targets, good. 13th in catches. We're going the wrong direction. 24th in yards, really bad. Wow. Only one touchdown.
Wow.
23rd in fantasy points, right? So volume, great. Efficiency, terrible. Maybe Kyle Allen solves him. So, Al, what's your stat? What do you got?
And that's really kind of the key there is that we talked about Haskins-induced inefficiency that maybe Logan Thomas was struggling with, and Mike made the point, well, that's not changing, but it just has. And if we look at Kyle Allen's efficiency when targeting tight ends this season, Haskins has completed 14 of 28 passes, 50% completion rate. Ew. When targeting his tight end last season, again, same offense, same head coach, he completed 65% of the passes. So if the volume of routes run per dropbacks sustains and the target percentage sustains, we would assume that the catch percentage will rise and the yardage will rise. So like maybe a lifesaver has been thrown out to the Logan Thomas truthers like myself, and maybe I'm just reading too much into it.
I hope you're not reading too much into it. I would love for it to come true.
Good punts this week.
Another guy that we like, and this is just dependent upon whether or not the game is played, Jonnu Smith from the Titans taking on Buffalo. Just watch and see what happens there with that game. You know, after a long summer, the wait is officially over. College football is back, and so is an all-new season of your favorite Dr. Pepper-obsessed college football town. That's right. We're talking about Fansville, everybody. So brace yourself for all the on-the-field drama and all the off-the-field Dr. Pepper flavor your eyes and taste buds can handle. Because even though you can't be at the stadium, you can still dress, cheer, and drink Dr. Pepper like a true fan. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today. All right, Mike Clay, let's give our lineups and get these people out of here in a timely manner so that they can go on with the rest of their daily lives. Weekly head-to-head lineup.
We'll fly through these. We did the show a little bit different today. A lot more analysis there. I love that. I think it was awesome, so we'll keep these a little tighter here because we talked about these guys. Josh Allen is my quarterback. Again, we're going to load up on running backs here. David Johnson, Zeke Elliott, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I tipped that one off before. Wide receiver going cheaper, Darius Slayton, Robbie Anderson. I'm going to butcher
Zacchaeus.
The Wizard of Oz.
Yes. Olamide for the Falcons here. And George Kittle at tight end. Love that I could still get him in there. And the Dolphins defense.
Okay. I actually changed my lineup from what's on this sheet. I decided that I wanted to go a different direction. Are you ready for it?
Whoa. Throwing me up. Olamide Zaccheaus. There it is. Go ahead.
There you go. All right. My lineup is Daniel Jones at quarterback.
Okay.
My running backs, Ezekiel Elliott, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Antonio Gibson.
Okay. Interesting.
My wide receivers are Robbie Anderson, CeeDee Lamb, and Darius Slayton.
Okay.
My tight end is Darren Waller.
Mm-hmm.
And my defense is the Miami Dolphins taking on the San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. A little overlap there, but not a ton. All right. Al, what do you got?
I have a similar lineup to what Daniel has. And it was Dynamike 11 who won the 100K last week. And he built the lineup 11. A lot along the ways that I'm building these lineups. I want a stack with a primary quarterback. I got Daniel Jones. My primary stack is a double stack. I've got Darius Slayton and Evan Ingram. I'm bringing it back with another double stack in that game, Ezekiel Elliott and Amari Cooper. The other players on the roster are Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Mike Davis, I've got that secondary stack with Zaccheaus as well.
All right.
And I'm going with the Steelers defense because I had enough money to pay up for them, and I think they're in an absolutely smash spot here.
That's the way that you look at defenses, right? You get to the end of everything, and you're like, all right, how much money do I have left, and I'm just going to figure out which one I like based on what I got here.
Yeah, and I don't really prioritize them, but for a tournament, people don't like to pay up, so you can pay up to be contrarian and get them at a really low number. And again, Steelers, one of the highest pressure defenses, playing against Philly, who's really kind of struggled on the offensive line this year because of injuries.
That's true.
Yeah, so because I'm good and I prep for shows, I actually did look up the pronunciation. So I'm still practicing it, though. So
same.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
So we got to nail that down because he's going to be a play this week for sure. Anyway, love the lineup, obviously. Love the stacks there. Showdown captain lineup really quick.
Bring
here.
It.
Captain spot, Tom Brady. He's good. The Pharaoh. Get him in there. We're going to give him Mike Evans and Ronald Jones and Keyshawn Vaughn, who's only 1,000. I love Keyshawn Vaughn. He's my Jeff Smith of the week, I guess. I liked him a lot last week. And then Nick Foles and Darnell Mooney stack. He's only 4,600, so... There we go. That's my
Darnell Mooney.
Lineup.
He's a guy that's going to come on towards the end of the second half of the season, I feel like, and really be great for fantasy managers. At least someone to keep in mind.
Yeah, maybe this year is sort of like Darius Slayton, right? Day three.
Yeah.
Not as good of a, probably not as good as of a passing offense, but day three pick who's really just worked his way into a huge role.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us again. Every Thursday we are here. For Mike, for Al, my name is Daniel. Make sure that you're good to each other. Make sure that you love each other. I wish that everybody could give each other hugs right now, but you can't. So just be nice and say good things and be good people. Don't forget to love everybody. We'll see you guys next week.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
Throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.